Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. The nice thing about this Q&A with Layla is you never know what's going to come up. And it could be a condition that's very relevant to you personally, or to that of a loved one. So, let's spin the dial and see what comes up.
Okay, we have one here from Mike. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I listened to your recent show with your guest regarding EBCT heart scanning technology. I had several calcium scans in the past years with these scores. A score of 72 in 2009, a score of 320 in 2016.
That's what happens. It gets worse.
And then a scan last month with an Agatston score of 361.
Which is that, they're all the same.
They're all the same.
By the way, you know who Agatston is?
He wrote South Beach Giant.
You know, this actually, first of all, I'm not such a fan of the South Beach Diet. The South Beach Diet is kind of a knockoff of the Atkins diet.
Totally.
But he kind of chickened out because Atkins was, he said, fat is important. You have to have fat. And Agatston said, yeah, you know, I like the idea, lots of protein.
But
and
no
low
saturated
carb,
fat.
But the fat is, he still, it's like a throwback to the belief that fat is the culprit.
Right.
So he said, let's eat a lot of protein and let's have very low carbs. And it just kind of defeats the purpose of the Atkins diet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very popular diet because it kind of fed into people's paranoia, which was very
well
instilled.
Who were still afraid of fat.
Right, the fat phobic folks.
Who had trouble, coming over to not being afraid of fat anymore.
But the guy's claim to fame is dual because he wrote a diet book and it was like I'd say mediocre diet book.
Yeah.
Very popular, but mediocre. But he is an innovator because he developed the Agatston score, which is how we score coronary calcification. And there, you know, I think he really hit on something. So he's had a bifurcated career in both, you know, high-tech conventional medicine as well as in the diet book world, where he had a lot of success. He sold a lot of diet books.
Yes.
And, just pick a name of an upscale, Beverly Hills diet, the Southampton diet, whatever.
Yeah. He did. He made definitely made a name for himself there. So, Dan.
It gets worse over time.
It gets worse over time. It went from a 72 to a 320 to a 361. And then Mike met with a cardiologist and she ordered a full stress test with sonograms using a type of dye.
Now, hold it, because I think if people listen to part one, they may have misconstrued how this was presented, because the way you presented it, it was like they had a succession of calcium scoring tests, and they were going up and up, and all of a sudden it was zero.
Yeah.
So it's actually, they switched tests.
Yes, they switched tests.
So the calcium scoring tests progressed into the...
Yes.
Up to about the 366.
Right. Right.
And then he had a different test, which was...
a full stress test with sonograms using a type of dye.
Okay. Well, that's usually thallium stress test.
Okay. So Mike says the test found zero blockage. I'm confused.
Okay. So let's reconcile those facts.
Okay. Little background.
Sure. Yeah.
Mike has been taking Crestor for about 12 years.
Okay.
He's 61 years old. He weighs about 165.
So wait a minute. How come he's taking Crestor and it's getting worse? How could that possibly be?
Yeah, because he has an HDL of 63, an LDL of 90, triglycerides of 70. It's not bad.
So he's great cholesterol.
Yeah.
Great cholesterol. And still it gets worse.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And Crestor for 12 years.
Proof of the pudding is actually
studies have been done that show that statins hasten coronary calcification.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, but they do somewhat reduce the risk of cardiovascular events and cardiovascular death, paradoxically. But the lower your risk, the less the benefit. So he doesn't have much risk with these numbers. These numbers are pretty low still. Yeah. They're sort of average numbers for how old this guy?
61.
They're like probably a little worse than average for a 61-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not horrible.
Right.
And so we can... So one test measures calcium deposition on the walls of the intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can use an analogy...
Of the walls of the...
I'm sorry.
Coronary arteries.
Hopefully, right.
We don't want plaque in the intestines.
No, no. Well, some people may have it.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
So the analogy is... You know, we have this tunnel that's feeding water to New York. That they say it's like a major viaduct for water.
Mm-hmm.
This huge tunnel that they, you know, they did it like, I don't know, in the 19th century.
Uh-huh.
Gigantic tunnel that, you know, they used to have like above ground viaducts that would, you know, send water into the lower parts of Manhattan. But then they finally dug a tunnel that takes the water from the Croton West Reservoir upstate to provide for the water needs of Manhattan. And what's happening is gradually lime is being deposited in the walls of those tunnels.
Yeah.
However, there's not been a critical shutoff of water in that tunnel.
Yeah.
But what they realize is that year in, year out, eventually... That tunnel is gonna, it's gonna deliver less water.
Yeah.
But just because there's a coating of lime on the wall doesn't mean that we're gonna have an emergency shutdown of the water supply of New York.
Right. Viaduct is not gonna have an infarct.
Exactly. So what we have here is we have some calcium deposition. I mean, some people can happily go to their graves at 110 with a calcium score. It doesn't mean that there's an obstruction. So that's why we do these calcium scoring tests, because, you know, a lot of people say, I've been getting my stress tests. I get my stress tests every year with my doctor. He says, I'm fine. And we would like to predict earlier than if you have a blockage that you are at risk for cardiovascular disease and that we should take some measures to forestall it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are more measures than just taking Lipitor.
There's
vitamin K, and we can use fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very good study recently with the synthetic fish oil.
Uh-huh.
They don't want us to extrapolate that to over-the-counter fish oil because they have a proprietary on this synthetic EPA, VASEPA, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually has been shown to prevent cardiovascular disease. So there are measures we can take. We can use a variety of nutrients to reduce inflammation, to...
Garlic, curcumin. You know,
yeah, and...
So you could have a calcium score and have zero blockage, or it depends on the test.
However, you can't have a zero calcium score, very unlikely to have a blockage. I mean, there are rare malformations of the arteries that can occur, like a kinking of the artery.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes women... have an unusual type of heart attack where there's no calcium, but there's spasm. It usually occurs under conditions of...
I heard that.
It's called Kawasaki syndrome or
something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kawasaki syndrome.
Sounds like Kawasaki.
Right,
the good times roll, but not in this case.
Right,
so, yeah.
It was first discovered in Japan, but it's under tremendous stress. Sometimes you can...
Yeah.
It's
like your heart is being
the
squeezed.
Arteries go into extreme spasm.
Yeah.
Vasospasm. Mm-hmm. And then that's... the arteries are soft, there's no calcification, and there's an occlusion, you know, but it's usually a temporary occlusion.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so...
Yeah. Wow. All right. So, Mike, we hope that answers your question. You know, it's interesting, that type of heart attack in women, it's interesting, I find, the difference in symptoms. A man who's having an MI might feel a crushing pain in his chest, like
radiating
an elephant
down
set.
into the
right,
ring finger,
his jaw, and his
left
all of
jaw
that.
Pain. And yeah, classic
he's
symptoms.
He's in a fist or some other thing.
Right.
A woman, on the other hand, may feel a wave of nausea,
indigestion,
and indigestion and clamminess,
malaise,
like that,
like a malaise, like
so
a malaise.
So interesting.
Yeah, wired
how
differently.
It's different,
we're wired
yeah.
differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's sneakier in women.
Mm-hmm.
Heart attacks can be sneakier.
It reminds me actually of Rosie O'Donnell had a heart attack. I think it was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't know it until like the third day, the second day.
Yeah.
She's just really pale and fatigue and just unwell. And wow, she was having
Some
a heart attack.
Describe a prodrome of a heart attack. Before the heart attack occurs, they have a what's called vital fatigue, which is like an extreme fatigue, wave of fatigue washes over them.
Hmm.
And then the next step is they actually get pain.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, wow.
So at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. Here goes.
Do achy, stiff joints slow you down? Would you like to put some of the cushion back in your joints and cartilage? Would you like to clinically reduce everyday joint aches and pains? Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and if you answered yes, then good news. Our friends at Purity Products want to send you a bottle of their legendary Ultimate HA joint formula for just $9. Ultimate HA features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping you to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin, and people say they look better too. Just a few capsules a day, and you deliver powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissue. So call 1-800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9, and you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping, 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now, 1-800-983-1154.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions with Layla. What's next?
We have an email from Dan. I recall a while back, the doctor, speaking of you, Dr. Hoffman, was taking Propax with NT Factor. I followed his guidance and have been taking it every day for about a year. I was wondering, does he still recommend this multivitamin pack, or are you recommending something else? I'm 72 years old. Right. I do cardio exercises. I lift weights. Any recommendation you can provide would be greatly appreciated.
Well, if you listen to my weekend radio show, the makers of Propax are a sponsor of ours.
Yes.
And I read a commercial copy, which goes roughly like this, is, you know, for years I've been talking to you about Propax with NT Factor. Propax is actually NT Factor in a little packet with fish oil and a multivitamin.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, but I already have a multivitamin and I already have my favorite brand of fish oil. So can I get the NT Factor alone? So you can get NT Factor alone. You can take just NT Factor and you can take your multi and you can take your fish oil and whatever else you want to take. And NT Factor is a great accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're taking.
Yeah.
They have a product called Healthy Aging, which is NT Factor plus some cofactors.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it. I do personally
Healthy
take
aging.
It, and I recommend
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to take. Yeah. It's available on, Healthy Aging's available through a special offer from at Propax.com.
At Propax.
They have a buy one, get one free offer, by the way, this continuing this month. And if you use coupon code Hoffman at checkout.
There you go. So Dan, take your Propax with NT Factor. Keep doing your exercises. That's great. You are 72 years young.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. 70's a new 50, so.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that old to me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So we have an email now from Gary about cannabis. As legalization and recreational use of the bioactive substance is gaining popularity, I wonder about the health benefits or harms of cannabis use.
We could go on and on about that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You've probably done
right
podcasts about all this, so.
Well, let's break it down. You know, there are health benefits, certainly for certain conditions, like for pain, for MS, there's some good studies. For some people with post-traumatic stress disorder, any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about not CBD alone. We're talking about CBD with THC.
Yeah.
And these days,
we're talking about marijuana.
Yeah. And this, you know, it's gone way beyond just smoking a joint. You know, it used to be, you know, let's get the rolling papers and let's get, you know, bag of, you know, a dime bag and, you know, pull out the seeds and put the, you know, takes me back to my dorm room days. And
I smell skunk all over the city streets.
All over the city streets.
Every few blocks, right. I smell some skunk. I call it skunk because that's what it smells like.
It is. Yeah, it has that kind of odor.
But yeah.
So its use is ubiquitous. Its availability is everywhere. I think people only get busted for, like, you know, if they have like a truckload of pot, you know, or something, then they're dealing. Mm-hmm. But they don't arrest people anymore for smoking pot.
Yeah.
And so it's not legal in every state, but it's soon to be legal in every state.
Mm-hmm.
And they're becoming more and more lenient about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, my feeling about it is that there's some downsides. There's some health downsides. But, you know, there's some health downsides. People will quickly say there are some health downsides to alcohol. But that's
absolutely
a little like saying, you know, to justify one political candidate, you say, well, they're better than the other political candidate. That doesn't mean they're good.
That's right.
You know? So the problem with pot is I think you really have to be an adult to use it, because kids are getting it at too young an age now.
Yeah.
And I think it's a critical age for brain development, also developing study habits and focus.
It could change your brain chemistry forever.
I think it could potentiate schizophrenia. I think some kids probably have a potential for various mental disorders.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some kids here who I think they've really experienced some health problems around that, mental problems.
Yeah.
You know, the parents bring them in, you know, can you straighten this kid out?
Mm.
And, you know, by the time they smoked a lot of pot, and even if they stop, they're disorganized.
Yeah.
They haven't gone through that process of developing good discipline and study habits. So
yeah.
Fortunately, you know, historically, when I was introduced to pot, I was already a little older. I was in my late teens. And, you know, when we wanted to do something illicit in high school, it was like, yeah, can you get hold of a six pack? You know, it's like, oh, yeah,
high school,
right.
Yeah.
You know, that was about it.
Yeah.
You know, we were under the drinking age, but we usually was an older guy who would, you know, score for us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
score you a six pack.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, so maybe somebody who had a false ID or somebody who was shaving already, you know, that would usually get you into a liquor store. But with pot, I'm really concerned about the effects on kids. I'm also concerned about the effects of chronically inhaling burnt plant material.
For your lungs.
It probably isn't as bad as cigarettes.
Yeah.
But it's not great.
No. No. And the other thing is, I think that if this becomes part of your lifestyle, you know, you become less, I think, productive over time.
Yeah.
You're constantly trying to keep your hand on the devil's tail, so to speak, and not go all in and just have a case of the, I don't feel like doing this today.
Right. Now, I think there may be some really highly productive people who manage to, just like with alcohol, they manage to, you know, smoke some pot.
Yeah.
You know, like when they're going to, you see, you know, going for music or something like that, or maybe they're going to an art exhibit or something like that, and they use it in a controlled and restrained way.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's okay.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. But again, it's like you say, you have to be an adult about it.
Yeah.
You really do. You have to be mature about your use of stuff.
Now, when it comes
to
CBD, I think CBD is very safe.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's
without the THC.
Right.
It's not marijuana. That's hemp.
Yeah. And
different thing.
And I really think that there's almost no downside, probably a lot of benefits to CBD.
Yeah.
You know, I'll confess to using CBD on a regular basis, and I don't use it for any particular reason, except I'm using it now. I take some at bedtime, and I find that, not that my sleep has been bad, but my sleep is extraordinarily good now.
That's great.
With that.
That's great.
And, you know, people begin to experience sleep problems as they get older.
Yeah.
And I think it's, that's
one of
the key
benefits. The sleep
cycles
change.
Yeah.
They become shorter. There's a little less REM.
Well, you know, also you have other
things.
You have body aches and you have, you know, various, you know, positional issues in bed.
Yeah.
And you have, urinary issues are a big one. You know, it's like, I'm fine until I wake up and I go to the bathroom, and then I wake up and I start thinking about all the things.
Exactly. Now you're awake. You turned on the bathroom light.
Right, right. All of that. You know, that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think CBD has a role there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, anybody undergoing chemotherapy for cancer and is helped, you know, a lot of the side effects are pretty bad. Nausea and stuff. That could help.
One really weird side effect of pot, and it's emerging now that more people are smoking pot, is hyperemesis syndrome, which is a nausea that occurs. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems like a pot withdrawal kind of thing.
Wow.
You know, it's that it, and so it, these people feel really, really awful, and the only antidote is to get in a hot shower, and it seems to alleviate it. And it's coming up more and more in
a hot shower.
Medical reports. Yeah.
Not more pot.
Well, you know, I guess you can take more pot, but it's
a hot shower.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it's, which is weird because marijuana is used traditionally to treat mm-hmm. nausea
yeah.
and to increase appetite.
Yeah.
When people have lost their appetites, as in when they have chemo. But that is emerging as a potential problem. Also concerned about disorientation, you know, and safety issues, like people who are on the job, there are jobs that require, you know, physical, you know, coordination and balance and precision.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a guy in a machine shop or something who's smoking pot, or, you know, a driver who's smoking pot, and then you can't even use a breathalyzer test on them.
No.
So that's becoming, you know, I think there are some statistics that show that in Colorado, where they, or in other states where they've legalized pot, there are more motor vehicle accidents.
Probably. Yeah. Because it could dull your senses the same way alcohol can.
Because I remember, you know, sometimes when I...
it's still driving while intoxicated.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when I've smoked pot at mm-hmm. times, I can remember this, is that I would be driving down the street, and I realized that I'd be like driving like 15 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone, because there was just something so fascinating and compelling about that white line, you know, in the, it just, you lose a little bit sense of time
yeah.
and space.
Yeah.
There's some distortion that occurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm told, and I haven't tried it, is that everybody who I've talked to says, oh, the pot these days is so much stronger now.
Oh, no.
It's so much, well.
Now they're having it in foods and edibles and brownies and gummies.
And elixirs and, you know, vaping it and mm-hmm. the various other ways of imbibing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can get it from dispensaries now.
Yeah.
And, you know, then.
And in different, not just potencies, but the type.
Oh, yeah.
I think the species
it's like,
for this
they're like,
malady
they're
or
like
that
these the people in these dispensaries,
are
they're like sommeliers. You know, it's like,
I was going to say pharmacists almost, like, but sommeliers.
Kind of, what kind of buzz are you looking for? I mean, this one gives you this kind of buzz.
Do you want to be more creative in your writing?
You want to be mellow, or you want to looking for, like, this one will give you, like, really vivid visions. And it,
yeah.
Whoa.
Carl Sagan, the author,
mm-hmm.
before he died, I think a decade ago or something, I forget the books he wrote, but he did it all on pot.
Oh.
Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders,
right.
She wrote most of her hits
mm-hmm.
high on pot. That's
yeah.
what you did.
Well,
it's
yeah, the other thing, I mean,
what the creative.
Problems, that's good if you can do it, but it's almost like it induces a dream state, and if I could... Sometimes I wish I had a device that could just record my dreams, like a video recorder.
Yeah.
I'd make a lot of money because the crazy movies that would come out of that, you know, fantasy
uh-huh.
and horror movies that would come out of that would be very, but you can't, it's hard to, and that's the artist's dilemma, is that, you know, they're the opium eaters and they,
yeah.
it's hard to get a hold of those visions
mm-hmm.
and tame them
mm-hmm.
and retrieve them.
Yeah.
You know, you experience them in the here and now, and then but you don't have the faculties to translate them into
right.
a structured work.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
I'm not, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
I mean, there's actually even some. Hey, we're off the tangent a little bit here, but there's actually some. Buzz on using psychoactive drugs like LSD, microdosing,
yes.
so that you can be more creative. Like if you're coming up with better ideas as a programmer or as a, you know, creative artist.
Wasn't that also
it's a
therapy?
Silicon Valley thing. It's a Silicon Valley thing.
Right.
Yeah, there's also for, you know, breakthrough psychiatry, you know,
I think it's coming back. I think these are things that actors in the 40s and 50s, like Cary Grant, did LSD therapy to delve more into whatever his issues were.
It's hard to imagine
something like that.
Kind of a suave, button-down guy like that, you know, doing LSD. He's sort of like the anti-hippie.
But controlled.
Right.
The anti-hippie, right.
But a
that
very interesting person.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that tangent took us a long way off. Is there a quick question that we can answer here?
Here is one.
Yeah.
We have from longtime listener Eric. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, are hair tissue mineral analysis tests accurate?
No. In a word, no.
In a word, no.
Hair analysis is useful for population studies. Mm-hmm. If you want to study the potential for contamination or pollution in a population.
Oh, yeah.
You look at 1,000 people and you cut snips of their hair, you're going to find out if that population has a higher exposure to maybe heavy metals.
Yeah.
Maybe. But there's so many contaminants that hair is exposed to. I mean, if you just walk down the street in New York and, you know, then you snip off your hair, like maybe you walked under a construction site or something like that. Or the hair product that you used had a lot of zinc or something like that, which is common.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't necessarily reflect what's in your body because it's an excrescence of the body rather than a living tissue. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't necessarily tell you.
It's what's left.
Yeah.
So Eric is asking, what's the best way to test for vitamin, mineral, and amino acid deficiencies?
There are seminars that go, you know, for days on end that relate to that. And, you know, we regularly...
Well, blood tests for
we
one.
We attend them,
but
you know, blood tests, genetic tests now tell us if we have there's a vitamin D receptor that can be not very avid for vitamin D, so that some people may require higher vitamin D. That's one way of telling. Genetic testing is giving us some predictions.
Mm-hmm.
There's also functional testing like organic acids that measures things in the urine that tell us if there's metabolites that are either inhibited or promoted by vitamin deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's really very, very sophisticated and complicated. And you know, it's almost like TMI, too much information.
Yeah.
We're overwhelmed sometimes with the information we get. And some of it can be confusing and contradictory. So it is a field that's, even something as simple as a vitamin D test, there's controversy over what does it mean.
Yeah.
What are the norms? What the norm, you know, is it okay to just not be in vitamin D deficiency, or is there something much higher that's optimum vitamin D?
Mm-hmm.
That remains controversial. You know, I'm open to more research about what the meaning of these tests are, you know.
Yeah. Thank you for that question, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can do a whole, I mean, we could do entire podcasts on that subject. Yeah. Maybe we will in the future tackle that test, you know. And that's also a dilemma that we're faced with because we constantly are, you know, learn of new tests or test panels. People are trying to promote them, frankly, because it's, you know, they come into our office, they say, here's the latest, greatest test. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, will you send all your patients for this test? And, you know, we want to only give the best, most credible test to our patients. Also save our patients money, you know, because there's a limit to, you know, you can say, well, I want every test in the book. Then, okay, you got $25,000. We can do every test in the book.
Yeah. Or a better economical package of certain
what's
tests
most cost effective.
Cost effective and yet specific. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is all the time that we have for today. And we have a couple questions still in the mailbag, but we need to replenish that mailbag every week. So email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Great questions this week. Very thought-provoking.
Thank you, everybody.
Keep them coming. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate your interest. And we hope that we've addressed them satisfactorily. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin. She's our nutritionist in residence. You can come see us both together, or you can see Layla independently if you want, at our offices in Midtown Manhattan. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.